Welcome back to the Girls Talk Ag Podcast, plowing through the manure online.
There's a lot of it.
A lot of manure.
Yeah.
Yeah, is it that time of year for you, Jen?
It is. Well, and yeah, I think it's that time for everybody, and so there is a lot of shit, if you ask me. People just bicker. People get ants in their pants, and then they bicker, and...
So there's, like, literal spreading of shit, and then figurative spreading of shit.
Yeah.
Depending on... the niche you're hanging out with in social media. Or niche.
Niche.
Right?
I don't know what it is. Rednecks say niche, I guess.
Right, I guess. That's the way. Just like crick or creek. Karen's also here.
Yep.
Hi, Karen.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm not a morning person, but I'm here.
Yeah. It's early for Karen. It is 7:15 Central Time. So... everyone say a tiny prayer that she's able to ingest caffeine. Do you drink coffee, Karen?
No, I don't.
Drinker?
I usually just
drink
iced tea. Oh, yes.
Oh, okay.
I drink iced tea and then I drink that Crystal Light with caffeine.
Oh, that's what I'm drinking this morning.
Yeah, they're little packets that have caffeine. Yeah, there's an adult version.
Yeah.
I
love them. That's what I'm drinking right now.
I'm drinking green tea right now that I got from Amazon because I used to drink Nest tea iced tea powder, and apparently they discontinued it because everything that's good in my life has to,
ew,
you know. What? You don't like instant iced,
no,
tea? You're not a fan of Nest tea?
Oh, wow.
Oh,
nope.
Karen.
No,
brewed, that's how I go.
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
God, you're a diva. Pinkies out while you drink your fresh brewed iced tea. Mm.
Well, I cold brew it in the fridge, but yeah.
I'm like, throw a quarter cup of iced tea mix in there. If it doesn't curl your toes when you drink it, you're not doing it.
Oh,
right,
my dad used to drink that when we were little.
I'll take fresh brewed. I just am lazy, so I buy the powder stuff. But anyway, now that we've kind of crossed that path, Colton is right now eating his breakfast. Dude eats 3 eggs a day in the morning. For breakfast.
Poultry,
yeah,
farmers,
it's
thank
kind of
you.
Amazing. Yeah, we go through, so that's why we bought the chicks. I won that battle. Yeah. So I kind of was able to convince them. I'm like, we go through like 3 dozen of eggs a week. We really should start providing our own. So I'm halfway to homesteading.
Oh, so pulling a Chris Campbell here, have you priced what the coop cost you and the feed and the upkeep and the chickens?
No, because
themselves.
I get immense joy and you can't get an ROI out
of
joy.
There is, you're right, there is no, you know, return of investment on joy, but
suck it, Chris. You can tell Chris that with your cattle too. I need more
that's
cattle.
True. Yeah, like I'm just that's saying that somebody else washes the chicken shit off that egg for you, and that's why I pay for groceries.
That's why you pay the extra. Probably the first time I have to pull a shitty egg out of a nest, I'll be like, screw this noise, we're going to the store. Like, my favorite's my 2 ducks. Because I just bought ducks randomly, not because I figure on eating their eggs or anything. They're just cute. And their names are Gladys and Virginia. And so Gladys is the brown one, and she's always shaking her little tail. And it is the cutest thing I've ever seen. Yellow duck is Virginia, but I still call her yellow duck because apparently my husband rubs off on me. But anyway, today's supposed to be a quickie, so talking about iced tea and ducks really doesn't get us to the end. We, before I forget, are part of the super awesome Global Ag Network, where you can find all of the world's best podcasts, every single last one of them, and globalagnetwork.com. You can now set up user accounts, which is kind of a big deal. Like, you can get news and stuff, learn about what the Girls Talk Ag podcast is up to, which is concerning.
If you know, please tell us. Thank you.
Yeah,
exactly.
We could use some help here.
I could really use someone to kind of give me direction.
A
in
personal
my
assistant.
So,
wouldn't that be amazing?
Right?
If you just had a little, I don't even know what you'd call them, just someone to say, I just want someone to follow me around and go, now you need to go here, Jen, and this is what you need to do.
I need that today. After we have Grandparents' Day, and then one has soccer practice, one has a soccer game. And then it's also the talent show. So forgive me, but I am praying for rain, at least on the Lower Park Eureka soccer field for today.
Right, just for today. Just some lightning, maybe. Cancel that up. but not make it too difficult, you know. Same.
Not affect the fields around it, but just the soccer field.
Yeah. This morning, the speech therapist was like, can we get together at 9:30 on Thursday? I'm like, yeah, that's fantastic. No problem. Sounds great. We'll plan on it. And then I got a text message like no more than 5 minutes later about my doctor's appointment today at 10 a.m. And I was like, oh, I forgot about that. Thank God for texting 2 days ahead or else I'd always double book myself when it comes to that sort of stuff. So, but anyway, we want to discuss African swine fever today. We haven't really touched on it. I feel like I have, like, continuously on every egg market show since, you know, like, last August. But we haven't talked about it, right? And so we've got some unique perspective. Jen is involved in the hog industry. She's also traveled overseas. There's been a conversation about overseas travel and contamination and concern. Karen obviously is invested in the fact that will this influence grain prices going forward? And if it does, what does that mean, you know, as a whole? So I figure.
Yes. Will I be an agronomist this season or will I have to be a grief counselor? That's always my wonder going into the season.
Oh, I think, welcome to the grief counselor role forever. I don't know. That's how I feel as a market person anymore. Like, because no one ever nails the highs, and so everyone's always sad at some point in the year. So I'm like, it's okay. You did real good. At least you tried. You know, that sort of shit. But so African swine fever, you know, when we were traveling and doing a lot of market talks in January, I would say, who's heard of African swine fever? And you know, this is the beginning of January, a couple hands would kind of pop up in a group of 25 to 50, and then towards the tail end of January, you could tell it had really been discussed a lot more because most everyone would kind of have their hand shoot up, and so, I was, at the start, I'd be like, okay, well, if you're not familiar with it, you need to get familiar with it because it's kind of the 500-pound gorilla in the room, and it's actually turned into like the 1,500-pound gorilla in the room, I would say. I mean, it's a wild card. So it's really interesting in the sense that we have the China trade deal, which in and of itself is an unknown and a wild card. But in addition to that, you have the world's largest hog herd that sits in China and the world's largest population. I think they're still the world's largest, right? India hasn't beat them yet, have they?
No.
You guys are smarter than me.
No.
Karen? I expect Karen to know shit like that. Like, Karen, do they talk about that on Dateline?
Not yet. Maybe Friday night.
Oh. Yeah. Let me know. But in any event, they have a huge amount. They have a lot of people. And they've had an extensive growth in their middle class over the last two decades, basically, since the year 2000. And in a growth in middle class, you have an extensive growth in what people eat, right? When you have access to more money, you pay more for food,
you eat
not
more,
as a whole, but you eat more meat. You have more money to spend on yummy things like meat and, specifically the hunger for pork has grown, which I am doing keto now because you have to tell everyone about it. Not yet doing CrossFit, but I'll work on it and get my Instagram set up. But, I eat bacon for breakfast every morning, and I can see why you would want to spend some money on extra bacon. None of this turkey bacon bullshit either. I have seen the light. I've crossed over.
Oh, my gosh. Angie has come around.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I love bacon. We buy two packs a week, and that's just my consumption. But it works. I've lost weight. But anyway, the growth in the hog herd and in the population of hogs as a whole in China is just, it's mind blowing, you know, and to put into perspective the idea of losses that the country has seen, some of the information that came out overnight was that they have seen a reduction in their herd as a whole of about 134 million pigs, which is a horrible lot. Yeah. To put that into perspective, the entire, like, harvest last year, the slaughter in the U.S. last year was about 123 million, and that was a record, I believe. So we've hit, like, max, which obviously this year, we just continue to grow and harvest, obviously, but we had a harvest that was record large, and the loss in China, this isn't the production, this isn't the harvest or anything like that. The loss due to African swine fever has outpaced our harvest. So pretty big, kind of a big deal, right? You guys, like, which direction do you want to go with this? Like, I mean, what questions or what are you seeing?
Well, let's start and talk about what African swine fever is. It's a virus, you know, and yeah. As we know, in humans, viruses, you know, mostly just have to run their course. So there's some good information from the pork checkoff and then also from the Iowa State University Center for Food Safety and Public Health. Now, the reason that this is kind of coming to play is that, you know, originally they thought China would only have around a 5% loss, but I think now it's up to like 20%, which is the big number that you were talking about. And, you know, the big key is that we don't want it to come into the U.S., but it was recently where there was a lot of pork was found in a container of ramen noodles. And the customs agents obviously found it before it came into play, but, you know, they found that one. Was there any more that came in? I mean, the biggest thing that could happen to the U.S. pork industry is if this virus got here to North America. So,
why was there pork in the ramen noodles? I'm confused.
Yeah, somebody was trying to sneak it in.
Yeah, there was basically, like, there's, like, a black market
The black market ramen noodle.
Yeah, basically. I mean, it wasn't like they were hijacking necessarily like cuts of bacon or whatever, like that extent, but there was pork based. I mean, there is a flow of that, and that's a concern. And I think we had someone find, they had something in their suitcase too.
March 19th, 2019. Following last week's discovery of the shipment of pork from China, National Producer Council on Prevention of the Spread of African Swine Fever a top priority. So the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol intercepted a shipment. And I believe that was the one that was found in a container that was labeled as ramen noodles only. Not that I'd really want to, you know, get some black market pork. I didn't know that was a thing either.
Yeah, delicious ramen noodles.
I didn't either. Why? I can't even,
There was a conversation that, you don't know what could be considered racist anymore, so you always want to be careful. But there was a conversation, like Chinatown would, yeah. You know, like some of that, but, there's black market everything. You know what I mean? Like, that's really when it comes down to it. Like, I just got a swimsuit that came directly from China, and I had to, like, test to make sure it didn't have any bacon hidden in it or something, you know?
Right. Any type of hog.
It's a virus. And the thing is, it's entirely deadly to hogs. So, like, as soon as a hog gets it,
doesn't affect humans.
But it does not affect humans. Nope. Yes. And so
they can carry it on their person, but it does not affect you.
Yes. So the biggest thing is, you know, where it originated basically was in Africa, was I think where it was first discovered, and it made its way somehow, which I haven't really bridged that gap, from Africa to Russia. So let's draw connections here back to, you know, basically when China started to snub us from an agricultural standpoint due to Russian production increasing in price, you know, kind of incentive, especially with logistics and things. They started really increasing the import of feed from the Black Sea region, China did. So there you have it. You know what I mean? I'm not saying necessarily that there has been the monkey that everyone's looking for, that, you know, where it's like, there's the monkey that started human development or whatever. But still, that's the idea right now, is that that's really kind of how it started. And the thing that's most interesting is a lot of Chinese hog production is done via backyard herds. So basically you have a small amount of hogs, you know, on a person's property. And I always kind of have said in the past that it's basically like, and this shows how redneck I grew up, my great-grandparents on my dad's side never bought pedigree dog food, or any kind of dog food for that matter, because their dogs ate basically what was left over from dinner. So you had a pie tin sitting on top of the wood stove, and that was, you put the food scraps, and at the end of the day, every day, that's what the dog ate. And there was no non-GMO, grain-free BS that my great-grandma gave their coonhound. It was just, here, eat this and like it. But that's a lot of how the hogs have been fed in those backyard hog herds in China. So what the concern is with the spread is that it started in the pork. Humans can eat pork with that is infected with ASF with no issue, not even knowing that it's necessarily present, and then feed the scraps to their hogs, and then your disease spreads. So that was the idea at first, you know, was that was what was going on. And so it was like, oh, it's okay, it's just backyard herds. We're going to focus a lot on, you know, the areas that we're working with biosecurity, you know, all of this stuff. We don't have to worry about it. It's just backyard herds. We'll go ahead and crack down on backyard herd productions in these provinces infected, blah, 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 blah. And then it hit that Dutch hog herd that had like 75,000 head on site and produced over 300,000 a year. And suddenly it wasn't about the biosecurity issues anymore. And remarkably, not long after that announcement was made, you stopped really hearing about new cases being announced in China. And then suddenly we heard about it in Vietnam. Vietnam has about 30 million pigs, and they have had since the 1st of March 550 confirmed cases of the disease now. So that's kind of a big deal. I don't know.
So didn't China try and keep it secret for a while?
I don't know if they did for a while. The idea is that they haven't been completely honest on it, the cases.
Shocker.
Enough. Right, it's China. Shocker. Yeah. So that's the idea. Because Vietnam's had 550 cases since the beginning of March. China's been dealing with it since August, basically, was when the first confirmed case was announced, and they still are only at like 120.
Well, and I think it's important to note that, you know, this has been around for decades. Mm-hmm. It's just in the news now because it hit China.
Well, because, yeah, I mean, it's got such a huge impact, or it could have such a huge impact on what's taking place. Now, it's also present in Belgium, in the wild hog population there. And so the concern is, what does that look like if it spreads to France or Germany? And a lot of folks will say it's not if, it's when. We did get confirmation yesterday that a case was found outside of the control zone in Africa, South Africa. A case was discovered in a hog herd that was like 30-some pigs. Wild pigs spread it, and it's a virus. So, you don't have to you don't have to ingest something to get it. I'm believing it has, some level of airborne-ness, I guess you could say. The concern is real, that
it can also be transmitted by ticks, which would be an issue in the wild populations too, I would think.
Yes.
Mostly fluids, and hogs spend a lot of time sniffing each other's asses.
Do they? Are they worse than dogs?
Yes.
Oh, gross. Hogs are really kind of a gross animal, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
they're delicious, but they're really kind of gross.
Everybody says they're so smart. Chris always says they don't apply themselves then because they're stupid.
That is such a Chris Campbellism. Everyone thinks they're so smart, they obviously don't apply themselves.
Yeah.
But the reality is, it's spread by fluids. It's spread by ticks. Any sort of bloodborne type, I would imagine like mosquitoes or anything of that nature would also contribute to the spread. And so, obviously everyone's like, sweet, this is so bullish. This is really price positive for U.S. pork.
So when I was researching, it's also spread by, let's see, this was a fact sheet I found. Introduced into a herd after the feeding of uncooked, undercooked, contaminated pork products were African swine fever virus is often introduced into a herd after the feeding of uncooked, undercooked, contaminated pork products, which are ingested by the pig. So, like, I asked Jim Smith, I'm like, oh, what are they feeding pigs in China? And he said, raw pork waste is a major issue.
Each other.
Yeah, basically.
Basically.
Man, Charlie was such a dick, but he's delicious.
Raw. Raw. I don't know why I said that. Yes. And it's so weird. I mean, I just can't even. I don't know. It's weird. Hang on a second.
Where did I say kind of a cannibalism thing? You know, like a Silence of the Lambs?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's terrible.
It's mostly, you know, what they feed over there a lot is consumer waste.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, like kind of similar to that's what we fed our dogs was, you know, whatever was left over, scraps and things of that nature. And that, not our dog, but my great-grandma's. My great-grandma and great-grandpa were...
Their dog probably also hunted a lot on its own, too. So
yeah, and so it just kind of did its thing, because that was in the 80s when no one cared what their dogs did either. But
here's what I was looking for. Pork has to be cooked, period. Freezing and curing does not kill the virus. I think that's interesting.
It said it had to be cooked to a certain degree for like 30 minutes, and I'm like...
That's a lot for pork.
Yeah. It's not even worth eating pork, honestly. Sorry.
I was thinking it would be awful...
leathery
by then, yeah.
Yeah,
but I think freezing I can see does not cure, but curing does not kill the virus either.
That's interesting. And so yeah,
when they said too, like when they have to wash out the barns, like a regular disinfectant doesn't work. They have to use a specific one for this type of disease to actually, you know, get the barns disinfected. But
are they even know yet how to get that done? I mean, that's because they're trying to get their arms around it. Now, the Chinese ag minister said the other day that they've controlled the spread of the disease. And so you saw pork down limit or hogs down limit on like Tuesday. And that was really kind of based on that headline. We did just see this morning come out weekly pork export sales of 90.7 thousand metric ton, which is a shit ton. China accounted for 77.7 of that. So that was like over three quarters. It's a huge amount of pork to China. And you have to remember the tariffs still on. So there is conversation now that Smithfield's Chinese owned. This was why they purchased Smithfield, right? As if they had a disruption in their food supply, they would then have the U.S. system to rely upon or secondary production elsewhere. So, yeah, so we saw the pork export sales this morning announced here, huge sales anyway, almost 100,000 metric ton, and China accounted for over three-quarters of it. So we had 90,700 metric ton, and China was accounting for, or China did purchase 77,000 metric ton of it. So the conversation now among industry experts is that, you know, basically Smithfield production in California there is all going to be dedicated to China. Like, that's all going that way. And so in any time where you see a significant demand increase, you know, the hardest part for us is going to be slaughter capacity. You know, like, you're going to bottleneck the packer. And it's interesting to note that, like, cash values have continued to increase, but packer margins obviously aren't as strong as what you would like to see, but product demand is going to continue to also increase. So it's really going to be interesting to see just kind of how this entire thing plays out, because we've never really seen something like this. You know, the million-dollar question is, are the Chinese farmers going to be quick to try to restock? You know, obviously, Jen, how long does it take to get a hog ready for slaughter?
Oh, between 5 and 6 months.
Yeah. So, I mean, once they're able to restock, you know, you can have a relatively quick turnaround, you would say. But for one, they've reduced their breeding stock by like 20%. So they were slaughtering their sows in addition. And so you're limited on sows, obviously. How long does it take to get them ready to be bred?
Oh, good grief. Longer than that. I mean, you get your gilts in. You don't want to. I don't even know. It's been so long since I've done gilts. You don't want to breed a gilt until she's, I think it's over a year.
Okay. Which would make sense. I can't imagine, you know.
I don't know. Don't quote me on that. It's been a long time. But that's, not gonna happen.
No,
first,
and that's fine. I mean, that's the big question, though, is like, what, you know, how long will it take to restock the supply, even if they control the disease?
Reproductive tomorrow? Performance and longevity are optimal when guilt breeding occurs near 230 days of age.
Okay, so about 8 months, right? Ish, give or take. 9 months.
I'm not doing math, sorry.
So, or so. That's right. I just too early for math. But, you know, so that's the question. Will the Chinese farmer be willing to restock after he or she lost, you know, their first round? And so, you know, that'll kind of rely upon how much is the Chinese government going to pay a hog farmer for hogs that had to be culled or will have to be culled. And so that was a question that came up. And obviously, I think the cash market structure in the country is going to be enough to incentivize some level of production increase. But when and how?
So are these cases that are found, are they clearing these farms out then?
Yeah, they're clearing everything out.
If they found a case, they're clearing those out.
And
now,
as far as I know here in the U.S.
Butcher, are they sending anything of butcher age to be butchered, or are they euthanizing everything?
They say that they're sending anything of butcher age to be euthanized, basically. Like, if they say they're, if they discover it, they're, it's not going into the food system.
That
because
farm is,
yeah, they're working to try to test and spend, they've even talked about it on, they've even talked about the, at the processor side, testing the pork after slaughter to make sure it doesn't test positive for ASF, which seems like a lot of work. Why wouldn't you test the hog? But maybe they can't. Maybe it's
well, they said it takes 5 to 21 days to incubate, and there's different levels of cases. You know, if it's 100% mortality, it's a really, you know, really, what should I, yeah, it's really strong virus, but there's also some that are like less than 5% strong. So some may not have any symptoms and others may have the lesions and you may see them right away. So there's like a varying level of how much they are infected.
So the, apparently Jim Smith told me the virus is very robust. That is part of the reason there is no vaccine. Researchers found viable virus in a 2-year-old wild boar carcass in Poland.
Okay, so it hangs around in the carcass.
Oh, it's, yeah. And that's, I think that's, then, it, carcass, not, but then the fluid is the big thing.
Yeah.
And I think that takes us into why they ended up canceling World Pork Expo, because, I mean, that trade show is huge. Yeah. As far as people coming in from China and other countries. And they're, you know, it could be on your shoes and you don't even know it. I mean, that's why I think it's so important. It's going to take you a little longer to get through customs, but if you've been on a farm, you better
fess up. It didn't take us that
long
to get through. I mean, they just say, wear the shoes that you wore, you hand them over, they put them in this little liquid, and you're on your way.
Yeah, and that, you know, some people are like, so I guess I always say, you know, plan for the longest amount of time you can think about and hope for the best, but let's, you know, we need.
I mean, how long it takes to get through customs, I mean, is going to depend on how many planes come in at that time. And the fact that you get to go through the U.S. because you're a U.S. citizen, it makes it a little bit faster, too. So
yeah. And there's so many trade trips now. Let's, you know.
Well, we were talking about that. I posted it on Twitter not long ago. And so there was someone that was part of the a pork group of some sort, and they basically were kind of like, oh, we didn't really go on any farms, and I don't really have any concern about it, because when I go back to my farm, I'm not going to take these items with me, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so,
well, but it's not,
I don't know.
It's not just your farm. It's when you leave the airport, you're still wearing those shoes.
Well, and they said that the likelihood that it could be transmitted at the show was very minimal, but they didn't even want to take that type of risk because it could literally, you know, decimate the entire pork industry.
So the optics of it, that's the other thing, like the optics of it, you know what I mean, to have a World Pork Expo when we're dealing with a disease that's not yet contained that could decimate, you know, the entire global hog herd as a whole and you know, not to be over dramatic by any means. I mean, it's a really dangerous virus to be messing around with. And so, you know, you really have to be safe. I think they did the right thing. It seems the commercial hog farmers are more like, yeah, this is what we needed to see, because that was the conversation that came up about from Twitter is, you know, yeah, the, this needs to be canceled. These trips need to be canceled. And then there's other members of the industry that are like, oh, nothing's wrong. But the fact is if the disease is discovered in the U.S., you know, from what I understand, protocol is every hog within 20 miles of the farm it's originally discovered on needs to be culled. So what does that look like someone?
Yeah.
In Iowa. You know, how many head of hogs is that for one grower? Because typically, you know, the folks that own the barns in one specific area tend to own the five barns in that area. Yeah. You know, at least that was, what I had seen, or it was my experience.
Yeah, they cancel the trade show due to foreign visitors. Yeah, however, they will go forward with the live show, because those are just mainly, those are all U.S. pigs. Those aren't foreign pigs coming in for the show. So,
yeah. And that makes sense. I mean, I think we're smart to be safe until we can figure out the vaccine, which could be 5 or 10 years based on what I'm hearing. You know, it just makes sense to, you know, and I'm not saying it has to be 5 or 10 years. It's not necessarily the vaccine. It's figuring out how to control the disease. And so I think we were
right, because there's no treatment or cure except for comfort care right now.
Yeah, basically. And then, you know, culling them and not eating them. So I don't know. Anything else you guys want to add? I mean, for me right now, the ideas or the concern that I hear, obviously, is what does this mean for feed demand going forward? Obviously, you know, China's not going to be using as much soybean meal if they don't have as many mouths to feed. You know, I fully believe that they'll try to figure out how to maximize how many mouths they're feeding here sooner than later, even with the disease present. I don't see them completely stopping production, which was kind of the conversation that we had seen here a week or 10 days ago. Oh, farmers will not resupply. You put enough money in front of a guy, he'll repopulate his farm with pigs. You know what I mean? Now, do they want to because of the disease? I don't know. I don't know the inner workings. I'm not a Chinese hog farmer, and I'm not, you know, really overly familiar with that side of the industry. But, you know, I have a feeling that as quickly as they can be breeding them and getting them to production level, they're going to be, you know, the export thing, it could be short term, it could be long term. Obviously, it'll depend entirely upon when they're able to rebuild their supply line. But it'll be interesting. Beef is also staying supported. That's one thing, and we'll have to talk about that later on too, is, you know, beef demand's going to continue to increase from a spillover standpoint, especially if pork product price shoots higher in the store, which is probably a reality. I'm going to go find myself a half a hog here. I need to put that on my to-do list, because I think my bacon's going to go up significantly at the store here. But so beef's going to get some support in overall demand. And then look at the fact that we probably lost, you know, 1 million calves is what Secretary Sonny Perdue's saying in Nebraska, too. There's a lot that's going on in the protein sector right now, folks. Like, it's going to be really interesting to see what it all means, you know, over the next
and
year.
And Angie started keto. Yeah.
And I started keto. Everything I do is wrong. I'm just saying, like.
Well, I'm just saying you're driving the market, too.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, because I love me some bacon and cheese. Like, this diet's the best diet I've ever been on. I'll go eat some pork rinds after this and be happy. So, anything you guys want to add before we wrap her up?
Nope. Right. No, stay calm out there this spring. It's still only the second week in April.
Yeah.
I know things are a little bit rough, but remain calm. It will get done. It always does.
That's, yes. Yes, we will. We will make it some way or shape or form. But in the meantime, my thoughts and prayers are, there are people that, you know, as a whole, it'll get done. But there are people that, you know, obviously are going to be experiencing things they have not experienced ever on their farm. And that's, you know,
I was thinking more of the I-staters. I mean, obviously Eastern Nebraska and those areas.
The I-staters, Illinois specifically. Right, we're looking at you, Illinois. Shit. So, all right. With that, Jen, do you want to add anything before I?
No, I'm good.
Good. All right. With that, we'll wrap her up for the week. So have a good one. Stay safe. Stay dry, all of these things. We'll be back eventually again with some sort of gem of wisdom, because that's all we ever provide you. So have a good one.